Good morning, men and women of God. This is Becky Spieth, direct sales specialist and the Christian direct seller, and I can tell you, I hope that you came expecting. Today's message is called Great Expectations for so many reasons. But I can tell you that God is doing a mighty work. He is just on fire all over the world, doing amazing things in and through his people, his sons and daughters, the ones that he created. You know, he tells us in his word that he created us for fellowship. He wants to be with us, but he wants to do more than that. He wants to give us that Holy Spirit fire that's going to change this world. And I hope that if you're just rolling out of bed or you're just grabbing onto that first cup of coffee, that you are awake and alive in Christ, because I'm telling you, if you're not already, you are going to be. Because this is going to be an amazing time. I know that God has an amazing plan for you this morning. This morning. You know what? Before we get started, the Lord just gave me a prophetic word, and I'm not sure who it's from, but I just want to give it out to you. Someone's frustrated with the struggle. And he wants you to know, and he wants you to realize that today's a new day, and without the struggle that you've been going through, you would not have stumbled across your strength. And you'd been praying for strength, and you had been wanting strength. But he wants you to know that even though you're frustrated with the struggle, you have that strength. You can see your strength now. And God is using the struggle to build your belief, your faith, and your levels of expectation. So don't talk negatively about the struggle. Guard your mouth very carefully. Guard your belief. Step forward in it and realize that you are almost through the struggle, that he promises to bring you through every circumstance. And your circumstances do not define who you are, but that he wants you to be on fire for him and to realize that your strength comes in him, but he's developed a new level of strength in you. And he's going to use that in a mighty way. I also feel there's somebody else on the line, too, that needs to embrace grace. Stop trying to prove to everybody that God loves you. His actual word that he's giving me right now is to stop trying to prove to everybody that I love you. There's nothing that you can do to make me love you more than I do right now. You're trying to prove my love to other people is only pushing them away. I want you to walk in my grace, my mercy, and my love. I finished it all at the cross. And I believe for every single person on this call today, he wants you to know that he set you up to reach the nations right from your porch. He wants you to get busy. He wants you to be excited. He wants you to be on fire. He wants you to focus in on exactly what he's called you to do and stop looking around, stop chasing shiny objects, stop shopping around for what the right thing or the different thing might be, and he wants you to get busy. He wants you to get busy right from your porch, right from your cottage industry, right from your job, right from your business, and start winning the nations. So I hope that touched your heart. I'm not sure exactly who those words were for, but being obedient is very important to me, so I just wanted to make sure that we shared those words for you. So maybe you came expecting a word from the Lord today. I don't know, but I hope that you receive that and you receive it with grace and love. And he's a loving God and he's a mighty God and he wants to do amazing things for you. And I can tell you there's no greater feeling as knowing you are doing exactly what God wants you to do. When you reach out and you touch people, you offer to pray for them, you feel that anointing, that hot burning power go out of you and go into someone else, into their life. They feel that power and instantly they can walk, they can move, they can feel that they've been restored. There's nothing greater than that feeling. There's nothing greater than seeing the chains of depression and guilt and frustration just drop off of people when they have the touch of Jesus. Because when Jesus shows up, so does love, so does freedom, so does healing, so does restoration. There's no such greater feeling as when you see people realize that Jesus is the Lord of their life for the very first time, or come back to him after they've walked away and been a prodigal son or daughter. All Jesus is asking you to do is to come with great expectation and let him do the work. I want you to think about it. There's several different analogies and stories, and you might even call them parables in the Bible, but they're stories with meanings that Jesus talked about in the Word. And he talks a lot about farmers. And I grew up on a farm for part of my life, and I can remember some days I just couldn't understand, why can't we just go plant the field? Why do we have to plow it? Why do we have to till it? Why do we have to rake it? Why do we have to get all the rocks out? Why do we have to do all this? It seems like it just took so long to prepare the field. And then at that point, after we've spent days and days and sometimes weeks preparing the field, then it was time to plant the seed. And after we planted the seed, then we'd have to tend to it and make sure that, you know, it still was aerated and that it was watered properly and it had the proper nutrients and the weeds didn't overrun it and that the pests didn't overrun it. And there was so much work that was involved. Think about what the Lord talks about in the Word about farmers. He tells us in the Word that, one of his key principles is that there's seed, there's time, and then there's harvest. Think about a farmer and his plow, and hour after hour he goes back and he works in that field, just like I talked about. And then he decides, you know what, I'm going to plant the seeds. But then as he's standing at the edge of the field, he stands at the end of that field and he says, you know what, I don't really know if these seeds are going to grow. Maybe I better start planning about all the things that might not happen. What am I going to do to take care of my family? How am I going to feed my livestock? How am I going to help the economy of my town when these seeds don't grow? That'd be absurd, right? Why would this man put his sweat, his labor, his time? I mean, some of this is done by hand. Why would he cultivate it? Why would he go through all of this? It'd be a waste of his time, except that he believed the seed would grow. He plowed with expectation. He plows with the distinct understanding that it's necessary and a logical thing to do in order to get the harvest. What about your business? What about your life? Are you doing those necessary things with the expectation that you're going to be able to partake in the harvest? Or are you just kind of hoping? Hope and expectation are really different. And I want to talk about the difference of those two things today, because hope is really kind of an unfortunate word that we use in the wrong context many times in the Scripture and in our own lives, because hope is something that has no certainty of fulfillment. I want to say that again. Hope has no certainty of fulfillment. There's no guarantee. It's just kind of pie in the sky, and it really doesn't matter. In today's language, hope is far too weak to express what God's saying in his text when he says, that, in like in Jeremiah 29:11, that he's given us a hope and a future. He didn't give us a hope. He gave us an expectation is what the word really means, that we need to expect it and that he has plans for us that are good and not for evil, to give us a hope and expectation. So I want you to think about the difference between expectation and hope. Hope doesn't have that feeling of certainty at all. However, expectation does. We need to make sure that we are constantly moving in a place of expectation. The farmer in 1 Corinthians 9:10, who was plowing his field and putting all his energy into it, he wasn't hoping. Are you kidding me? He was expecting a harvest. What are you expecting as your harvest from your business today? Not this year. Not through the whole business, today, this hour, this minute. You know, it's pretty interesting because most people take action, and the action that most people take between the moment of believing and the actual manifestation of the answer doesn't express their expectation, but it's a preparation for the non-arrival of the answer. And I'm sorry if I'm stepping on your toes today, but I got to tell you, the Lord just kept laying this in my heart, that his people expect not to have the arrival of the answer. How in the world could we really do this and say that we're believers? It seems like we spend most of our time as if the answer wasn't coming. We're not plowing in hope. We need to be plowing in expectation of the harvest. Are you really expecting? Are you really putting all your effort into it? Are you expecting that the supply of all your needs is going to be met? Are you expecting today? If you have to go and get appointments, if you need appointments on your calendar, if you need bookings on your calendar, are you expecting you're going to get them? Or are you going to walk around in circles or talk about and have all this creative distraction and creative avoidance that you create yourself so that you don't have to go and get busy, get plowing, and expect that answer? And then stand in faith, believing for it, continuing cultivating, continuing attending, and doing the things that you know you need to do. And standing in faith that God's going to deliver because he already told you that he had a hope for you and an expectation for you, and he gave you a future. And he had plans for you that were not evil, that he was going to fulfill every good thing that he promised he would do, and he would work at it to complete it until the day that he comes back. You know, even people who say they're walking in the Word, when they have a need, most of the time I see them spending much more time on trying to find some way around the problem as if the answer's not coming than they do in that attitude of expectation. The most vital key in the period of time between believing and manifesting the answer is that moment, that time spent on that expectation. Where's your attitude of expectancy? What are you doing? Or has Satan tricked you out of that one little point? And that might be the key why you're not moving in greater victory. He wants you to stay in that place of hope and not really moving into that place of expectation. He wants you to question the certainty of God, God's greatness, his word. Because if you question it in one thing, you're going to question it and he can bring it back up in others. Or do you believe with unwavering faith that God is promise to do what he said he's going to do, that he's not a liar, that he is truth and he is love? Because if he can get you to doubt one thing, he can cancel the whole project. He can cancel everything and put his own assignment on you. And right now, in Jesus' name, I cancel all the assignments of the enemy and the devil on each and every person that's listening to this in Jesus' name. Whether you're listening live or you're listening to the recording, the same power is there because the power of God is here. I want you to have just a little bit deeper understanding around this expectation. I want you to think about, really, are you thinking about what's the worst that can happen? Are you expecting the worst? How many times have you said, well, you know, I'm going to believe for that. After all, what's the worst thing that could happen to me? Watch the words of your mouth. They create your reality. I want you to right now remove that one sentence from your vocabulary forever. What's the worst thing that could happen to me? And I want you to replace that with, through God, all things are possible. What's the best thing that can happen to me? What's the best thing I can do for God? What seed you plant in the garden of your mind and in your heart will come to fruition. What are you tending? What are you intending and what are you expecting? You know, think about this. I mean, Paul was pretty much in the throes of getting beat and almost killed almost every day. And in the book of Acts, Acts 27, it came time for him where they were going to send him to Rome because he was a Roman citizen, so he legally could be tried there instead of just being put to death. So because he kept spreading the gospel, kept doing what he was supposed to be doing for the Lord, it was just really messing things up in the Roman Empire. The Jewish people were tired of him. They were sick of it. So they were going to send him for his punishment. And so as he was headed out, there was one of the centurions that they found a boat, and they decided to put him on that. But because it was late in the fall, which means it was almost winter because it was already past the autumn equinox, a lot of storms come up, and they come up really dangerous. And, you know, Paul said, you know, this is not a good time for us to be sailing. It's really, really dangerous. And he warned. He said, you know what, I see only disaster ahead for cargo and ship, not to even to mention our own lives if we go out to sea now. But they didn't care. And it wasn't the best harbor for staying in the winter because it was more of a dangerous harbor. So Phoenix, a few miles further on, was more suitable. And the centurion set Paul's warning aside and let the ship captain and the ship owner talk to him to try for the next harbor. Foolishness. But, you know, he was about the money. He was about the bottom line. He was about the dollar. He wanted to just get this over with, wanted to get his assignment taken care of. Then a gentle southerly breeze came up. They weighed anchor, thinking it would be smooth sailing. But they were no sooner out to sea than a gale-force wind, the infamous nor'easter, struck, and they lost all control of the ship. It was a cork in the storm. Now, I don't know, and I'm not saying that this is the case for your life or your business, but this might be the case for you, that you had great expectations. You know you heard from the Lord. You wanted to move forward in what you thought you were supposed to do, but you didn't get it quite right. You let a little bit of the flesh come in. You let, you know, somebody else influence and tell you what to do versus what the Lord had spoken to your heart. It seemed like it might be an okay time to set sail, even though you knew it probably wasn't right. You didn't have the peace that goes beyond understanding in your soul. But you went and you set sail. And then, sure shooting, there came a storm in your life or your business. And you feel like you lost all control of the ship. I want you to listen to the rest of the story. They came across a small island and managed to get a lifeboat ready and by the reef and the sails, but rocky shoals prevented them from getting close. They only managed to avoid them by throwing out drift anchors. So they had to get creative and start navigating the narrows. The next day on the high seas again, and badly damaged now by the storm, we dumped the cargo overboard. The third day, the sailors lightened the ship further by throwing off the tackle and the provisions. A lot of times we think, you know what, well, we're just going to start throwing things overboard just to try to save our lives instead of doing what God tells us to do. It's been many days since we'd seen either sun or stars. Wind and waves were battering us unmercifully, and we lost all hope of rescue. I want to encourage you not to lose hope, but this is what the Word says here, okay, telling their story. Verse 21 says, with our appetite for both food and life gone, maybe that's the place you're at right now. I want you to think back to the words and the verses that we've talked about already, that God has given you a future and a hope and an expectation. He has good things for you. But I'll bet there's been a time, I know there's been a time in my life when I could care less about food or life. Paul took his place in our midst and said, friends, you really should have listened to me back in Crete. We could have all avoided this trouble and trial, but listen to what he says next. Instead of just saying, so, you know what, you get what you deserve. He says, but there's no need to dwell on that now. So take hope. If you've been in a storm and you should have listened, I want you to know, take the word of God. There's no need to dwell on that now. He says, from now on, things are looking up. So if you say nothing else or get nothing else from the call today, I want you to just take that phrase. There's no need to dwell on that now. From now on, things are looking up. And I can assure, he goes on to say here, you that there's not a single drowning among us, although I can't say as much for the ship. The ship itself is doomed. Last night, God's angel stood at my side, and the angel of God said to me, don't give up, Paul. You're going to stand before Caesar yet, and everyone sailing with you is going to make it with you. So, dear friends, take heart. I believe God will do exactly what he told me. See, he said, I believe, I expect God to do what he said. And I want to encourage you to do the exact same thing. He did go on to say, but we're going to shipwreck on another island. It was inevitable. The consequences were already in motion, but he believed that God would do exactly what he told. And do you know that he also goes on in verse 33 to say, he says, with dawn about to break, Paul called everyone together and proposed breakfast. What a crazy thing to do, right? He says, this is the 14th day we've gone without food. None of us has felt like eating, but I urge you to eat something now. Listen to this. You'll need strength for the rescue ahead. I'm going to encourage you to eat some breakfast, some spiritual breakfast. I'm going to encourage you to get the word inside of you. I'm going to encourage you to get filled up on what God has for you. Come with expectation, but get filled up, because I'm telling you, you're going to need it. Once you get to that point of the rescue, you're going to need the strength, because God's going to do mighty and amazing things in and through you like you've never experienced before. He's got something so powerful for you, but you're going to need strength. And the way that you build your faith, build your strength, is by hearing the word, digesting the word, meditating on it, chewing your cud on it, and get strengthened up. Now's your time. Great expectations breed boldness. And you know who you are in Christ. And when you know that, he will do amazing things. But you need to know who you are in Christ and know that he'll do what he has said he's going to do. It might feel foreign and strange to you not to be in the supernatural once you experience it. I'm telling you, when you start working in miracles and you come out in a new boldness and faith with with doing what God has assigned you to do while you're on the planet here, it will feel strange not to be the one that's praying for people, looking for people that are hurting, setting the captives free, and being on fire. Now, I'm not saying you have to be in full-time ministry, you have to be a pastor in order to do that, but you are the pastor of your front porch. You are the pastor of the shingle that you've put out in your business or in your job. You are the pastor and the shepherd of the flock that God has given you. What are you doing with them? Where are you leading them? How are you influencing them? What about when you don't feel like showing up at your business or your job, or you feel like it's cold, or you feel like you want to sleep in, or you don't want to be the one that does the host coaching, or you don't want to offer the business opportunity to them, or you don't want to do one of the other things that you know is going to change their life and has the ability to have the power of God flow in and through you? I want you to ask yourself, who else is going to be praying for them if you're not? They're your sheep that he's put in your path. Who else is going to be praying for them? Who else is going to be the hands and feet of Jesus? Or even bring that healing or abundance or hope or expectation to them? Who's going to show them that Jesus is the answer to their economy, that he is the answer for everything? Who's going to do that if it's not you? I want you to go in as sons and daughters of God, for the saved as well as for the yet to be saved. I want you to be praying for people. I want you to be ministering healing. And I'm not saying that it's got to be hours and crazy things. No, if you see a need, say, hey, brother, I see your back's kind of bugging you. Can I pray healing for you? I believe and expect God to heal you right now. And when you start expecting, guess what? Jesus is going to show up. If it's truly about him and setting his captives free and building his kingdom and working in that way, he'll do it. Go in, his sons and daughters, for those saved and the yet to be saved. Invite others to meet your supernatural family. Invite them to your church. Invite them to our call. I want you to stop focusing on all the no's in your life or all the things that you feel like you got to cut out of your life or you can't be doing or the things that are unacceptable. And I want you to start focusing and shift your focus and expectations on all the things that you are going to do and start focusing on what you're doing today for God. You become what you focus on and what you say. So if you're always saying, oh, I can't do that because I'm a Christian, I can't talk to them because I'm a Christian, I don't know how they'd feel. They might feel weird if I ask them to pray. They might already know Jesus. Who cares? Find out for sure. Say yes to God. Do only what he instructs and how he instructs. My life is completely different. I was talking with some friends last night. Actually, my husband was sharing a story about a couple of clients that I took on that I never in my life would think I'd be working with. And he said, you know, that it was just kind of strange, but that we're seeing miracles transform these lives. And the one friend she asked, she says, well, why did you decide to take them? And he says, oh, I can answer that. Becky only does what the Lord tells her to do. When the Holy Spirit says do this, she does it. And then she says, how do you want me to do it? And she waits till she gets the answer from the Lord. And even though she doesn't have the full picture, she takes just one step until she gets the next thing that he tells her to do. And if he says to do it, she does it, even if it seems so crazy and outside of her comfort zone or has nothing to do with what she does as a profession. If he tells her to do it, she goes and does it. So I want to pass that same anointing to you. Turn the yes switch on to God. Do exactly what he instructs and how he instructs, even if it sounds crazy and you don't even understand it. But turn the yes switch on and then break the switch. Break it right off your body. Break it off your forehead. Break it off your heart and keep the yes switch on. Yes, God. Yes, God. Yes, God. My desire for you and for me is that we are so on fire for God that people will be lining the streets just like they did for Peter and even laying on the streets just hoping that our shadow will fall on them so that they will be healed. And it's not our shadow. It's because they want to be so pressed in and in the general area that you are because the presence of the Lord is so heavy in you and on you. It permeates from every area of your being. You are expected to preach the gospel and to share the good news in your life everywhere you go. It doesn't have to be a special prepared sermon with all kinds of verses. Just share the good news of Jesus and what he's doing in and through you. Pray and expect miracles. Expect that the chains are broken in the lives of other people. And be the tangible radical that's bold enough to touch them with the supernatural. People in the world today are looking for the supernatural. Look at all the disgusting things the enemy's using for it. All the witchcraft and all the movies around vampirism and all these, you know, black angels and all these crazy things. They're looking for the supernatural. You've got it. Be radical and bold enough to touch them with it. And invite them to hang out with you on calls like this and in your church. God expects you to be the evangelist to your streets, in your appointments and in your parties, in your team meetings, in your coaching appointments, in your grocery store, at the park, at the beach, at the zoo, everywhere you go. I have a friend who prays healing. She goes to HEB, which is our grocery store. She goes almost on a daily basis. Do you know why she goes there? She says, it's so easy. She says, because I can go pray healing for people because there's people riding around in the scooters. I know they're not feeling good. She says, I just go up and start talking to them. She prays healing. She posts it on Facebook almost every day, miracle after miracle after miracle. Where's your grocery store? Where's your field? Where's your sheep? It's right outside your porch. No one and no place is out of the reach of God. Put a yes on your forehead and in your heart for God. Think yes. Expect yes. I want you to come to that place of expectations constantly. Do you know in Romans 12:12, he tells us that, and gives us a vital key to understanding the subject of really expecting. He tells us to rejoice in expectation. Rejoice when we repeatedly experience that joy of expectation. In Romans 15:13, it tells us that God is the God of expectation. He's characterized as having the attitude of expectation. His ultimate purpose in creating this universe and placing man on the earth is to have somebody he could fellowship with. So when he comes, he's expecting that we're going to fellowship, right? But he's expecting so much more. He says, now the God of expectation fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in expectation. He's coming expecting that you're going to abound, expecting him to do great things in and through you. Start today. Start today. Be on fire for God. He has so much for you. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, thank you so much that we can come to you, that you are a God of expectation, and we can put all of our expectation in you and according to what your word has said, that you tell us in your word, even in Proverbs, that the hope of the righteous brings joy, but the expectation of the wicked will perish. Lord, we are expecting joy. We're expecting miracles. We're expecting freedom. We are expecting new boldness and new fervency. We're expecting Holy Spirit fire to be on us all of the time, working in and through us. But we are the radical that's reaching the others with the supernatural, Lord, that people want to be with us because they say, oh my goodness, this woman's on fire. This man's on fire. If you need to meet Jesus, or you need healing, or you need to be set free, or you just want to have a new passion. You want to be free from depression. You want to be free from anything that would constrict or restrain you. You've got to see this person. And when they see each one of us, Lord, they see you. They see Jesus and the power of Jesus in their life. Help us to come alive. I breathe new life in Jesus' name into each and every person, that they are living radically in the supernatural, that they are shutting off the storms in their life. We are commanding now in Jesus' name that every storm be stilled. We thank you for the strength and these words of knowledge, Lord, that you've given to each of us at the beginning of the call today, Lord. We are praying and believing for new, renewed concentration and focus in Lene's life and in her business. Lord, we free her right now from the addiction of social media, the addiction of all of the messages and the stimulus that is required in her life that she thinks that it needs to take place to keep her going and be connected. Lord, speak truth to her. Calm her spirit now in Jesus' name. Give her focus. We command the enemy of distraction and confusion to be gone out of everyone's life that's listening to this in Jesus' name. And that the God of order and of purpose reigns inside of each us. Thank you, Lord. Oh, we thank you. And Lord, we praise you. We thank you for all of the victories that's taken place in Cheryl's life and with her daughter, Lord. And we are so excited and praising you. We just want to dance on the rooftops and give you glory and honor that you've granted them visitation. Lord, praise you, Lord, that your word can be spoken and the influence be passed through to these grandchildren, Lord. Praise you and thank you. And I pray that you will put a guard before their mind and their hearts now, that you would bring healing and restoration. Even now, we expect it, that their hearts are healed, their emotions are healed, that nothing else can harm them in Jesus' name, and that today is the day of reconciliation. Today is the day of restoration, that health and healing is taking place in emotions, Lord. And Lord, we pray now in Jesus' name for Cheryl's daughter. She's healed. Help her receive and believe for that healing. There is no more mental illness. Jesus took care of it over 2,000 years ago. She needs to walk in that now. Help her to cultivate with great expectation of complete restoration and healing. Lord, I pray that you will continue to heal the family. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that you will remove all of the chains of depression, the chains of adultery, the chains of miscommunication, the chains of confusion. They're all gone now in Jesus' name. I thank you for physical healing taking place now in the lives that need it, and emotional healing. Lord, I thank you that we are spiritual ready, that you have given us the tools that we need. It's just our belief, our faith, and our expectation. Help us to know who we are in Christ and to work that out. Help us to be the pastors of our sheep. Help us to be doing what we need to do in the places that you've given us. Help us to be preaching the good news on a continual basis. Lord, let us help catch this world on fire. Help us to be the person that you've created us to be. Lord, we come expecting with unwavering faith. We love you, Lord. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Yes.
Well, I'm going to turn off the recording. If you've got anything else you need prayer for, I'll stay on the line for just another minute. God bless you, everybody, and we'll talk next week.